Hallelujah. I think it's precious that this church has got a bunch of men that love to cry in the presence of God. I just think that's so precious. And it just makes me feel good all over. I'm not alone. I got saved when I was 7 years old, and every time I would open up the Word to read His Word, I would just cry. I just cry as I read His Word. And so it's always been a part of my life when I get in God's presence. I just cry easy. So I never have liked that much about myself, but it's just part of me. Amen. Today I want to teach to you from Mark chapter 4, verse 21 through verse 25. And it's I've titled this, Four Common Teachings of Christ. Four Common Teachings of Christ. And the what I mean by that is that Matthew, Mark, and Luke has most of these verses, or most of these sayings of the teachings of Christ in different places in their book, in their gospel. It's recorded. And Matthew is more wordy, and he goes into more detail with these things. But Mark's got it, and so does Luke. They all have this. So here's what I believe. I believe that wherever Jesus went, he taught a lot of the same stuff. And he was going to different regions and teaching the teachings of the kingdom, the Father's thoughts. And so he was repeating himself, and these guys was hearing it in different places, at different times, and it was getting into their heart. So when you meld it all together, you see the commonality of this teaching, and yet it's like Mark is very brief in it, but it's still great teaching that we need to dissect and get into. So if you're there in Mark chapter 4, verse 21, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Father God, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. It is truth. It is truth. We accept it as truth. We accept it, Lord, as not just a good saying, but it is the words from heaven. It is the truth that we need to build our life on. So, Father, I hear those words as you're echoing. Hear those that have ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, we want to apply this truth to our life today so that we will be changed and more like you than ever before, Father. So I pray, Lord, for each and every person that the truth of the Word would penetrate their heart and would find good soil today, so that they can receive that and it will bear fruit and it will change them into the image of Christ. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. I love you with all my heart, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Verse 21 is a very popular scripture. It says a lamp is set to be set on a lampstand. In other words, he's talking about the old days when we lit our houses with an oil lamp. Some of you here may still remember that. Anybody want to? No. Okay, we got one take, two takers. Amen. Yeah, there you go. We got a few people that remember those days. And if you grew up in the county, electricity didn't come to your house, you know, real quickly. So maybe everybody in the city had electric, but you may have not grown up with it. So you may have lit the house with an old oil lamp or several oil lamps. So I think electricity come to most of us about 1850. So God bless you people that are like 200 years old in the church. We just You keep living for Christ. No, I'm teasing. But it said nobody lights a lamp and then puts it under something. That would be not productive, right? If you're going to light a lamp, you're going to light it so it gives illumination to the whole house. Matter of fact, if you're in a really dark place, sometimes it doesn't take much light to light up the whole place, right? So those old lamps, I can remember we had them when I was a kid, just for when the electricity went off, like in every storm. We'd had to get the candles out and get the old oil lamps out, and we'd light the place up. Now, Matthew chapter 5, how many people know what Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of? The Sermon on the Mount. It was Jesus' famous message. And that's what I'm saying. I believe that he preached that message in many, many different places. But he says, you are the light of the world. Now, Mark left that part out, didn't he? He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but under a lamp on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, I am the light of the world. I am Yahweh. I am the light of the world. And then Matthew breaks it down when Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you're the light. Why? Because I am in you. My spirit is in you, and you are to reflect the light that I have brought into your world. You see, Christians, wherever we go, we bring light into the room. When we're living for Christ, when he is in our heart. Guys, you know this, but heaven, there's no sun in heaven. But it's a bright place because Jesus is the light of heaven. Do you remember the guy named Saul who was persecuting the church? And he was on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden something happened that knocked him off his horse. Do you remember what that was? A great light. You ever wonder what that was? Maybe it was the sun that hit the rock just the exact right way and a reflection. No. The heavens opened and Jesus stepped forward for just a moment. And that light was so bright it knocked him off his horse. Because immediately he says, Lord. He knew. Nobody. That light has come into your world. You understand that's Christ. You are the light of the world. You know, Moses one time, he went on this mountain, Mount Sinai, I believe it was, where he spent a long time, 40 days, and God literally took the finger of God, wrote the Ten Commandments out on stone. Moses spent 40 days and nights in the presence of God, and when he come down from that mountain, you remember what happened? He was shining so bright, the children of Israel could not look on him. They said, Moses, you got to cover yourself because we can't stand to be in the room with you. See what I'm saying is when you get in the presence of Christ and you live in his presence, you're going to shine for him. You remember Sister Vicky when she was here and she's dealing with these foreign students? Do you remember what they call her? Shining lady. Shining lady. I have noticed that about Vicky. You know, I met Vicky when I was 18. She's 18 years old. And I always noticed that I thought it was her makeup. I thought she wears something that's just bright. It ain't her makeup. She's been in the presence of God. I find that when people have nothing but God, that they push in a little harder. Vicky didn't have anything but God as a child, and she pushed in to know him. Guys, I want to encourage you. You know, the Bible talks about that light that shone through Moses. It was dissipating. It didn't last forever. In other words, that he had to cover himself, but he didn't cover himself forever. He had to cover himself for a little while because that glory wore off because he hadn't been in his presence. Not so with us. See, the Bible says in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 3, that we go from glory to glory because we can live in his presence, so that light doesn't diminish in us. It actually increases. But this morning, as I was asleep, the Lord began to dump something in my spirit. You remember the man Joshua, who was the next guy up? He stopped halfway on the mountain. Now, I love Joshua, and I think he's a great picture of a leader in the body of Christ. You know, great work he did. But I felt like the Lord says, that's what's happening to my church today. They're stopping at the halfway point on the mountainside. So they're not going all the way up the mountain where they receive the fullness of the light and the glory of God. They're satisfied living in the middle. Dear God, there's a sermon there. Don't be satisfied with living short of what God wants for you. Let's go on up the mountain. Let's stay in his presence and live in his presence. Let's give him all of our hearts. God, I want more of you. I want everything I can get. I want to be that shining light in a dark world. Jesus said, this is one thing that he said. This is what identifies me. I am the light. You are the light also. He's gone. We are his representatives at this point. Does our life attract people to God? Are we the light so that when we walk in the room, the guys that are telling the dirty stories, shut up! Because all of a sudden there's a conviction power of the glory of God in their presence. I can't talk like this because a man of God just walked in. Or do they say, hey, come here, you're going to like this one too. Light expels darkness. It cannot stay. When light comes in the room, darkness leaves. John chapter 3. Verse 20, he says, everyone practicing evil hates the light. There will be people that will not like you because your light expels their darkness or exposes their darkness. They'll hate the light. They won't come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. We are the light. We need to use our gifts and our talents and influence for the cause of Christ. Don't conceal what he has done in your life. It's okay to say, I used to be that way until he came in my life. He has changed me. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light. Walk as children of light. Now you listen to me really closely. There's one scripture that says, you were in the darkness, but now you're in the light. This verse doesn't say that. He says this, you were the darkness. How many people raise kids and they said, I don't want you playing down there with those kids. You were trying to protect your children, right? I wanted you to know, hear me. You were the children that other people tried to keep their kids away from. Because you were the bad, you get this? Every one of us, we were the darkness. But now we are the light. We are reflective of that light that has come in us. But we've got to go up the mountain into his presence. So God can change us. The second part of the teaching says everything hidden will be revealed. Secrets will come to light. You remember your dark days? How many times did Satan tell you this? I know he told it to me many times. You can do this and nobody ever know about it. You do this, nobody will ever know. You see, Satan knows if I can get a hook in that kid's mouth, maybe it's 7 or 8 or 12 or 13, I'll get that kid addicted to something and I'll just reel him in and he will be mine for all of eternity. That's why children's church is so important. What I found is the very person that would tell me I could do something and no one would ever know, as soon as I did it, he would expose me. He loves to take Christians, get them into sin, and then put it on the front page of the paper. Because it's not just about you, baby. It's about the kingdom. And he's saying, look at this. They call themselves Christians. And you probably have said that yourself. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 says, "For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you've spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Whatever you've spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetop." Our first instinct is to hide our sins. Do you remember what Adam and Eve did? As soon as they bit the fruit, they made the fig leaves, covered themselves, and when God came to talk to them, where were they? They were not waiting for him. They were hiding from him. You can't, listen, you cannot hide your sin. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Quit concealing, child of God. There are children of God that still have strongholds of sin in their life. We don't like to hear that teaching, do we? I'm saved. I'm born again. But I'm a porn addict. Something doesn't make sense. God is greater than that. He came to set us free, not to let us continue in our sin. Quit concealing your sin. Come before the Father and say, "Here I am, and this is what I'm about. Forgive me of my sins. Take it out of my life." I had no idea this was going to come out like this. The third thing he says is the measuring tool that you use will come back to you. And we know this verse. Because there's this verse that says about giving with the same measure you give, it will be given back. That's not this verse. This verse comes with a warning. I hope you see this. He says, take heed, but what you hear. That's a warning, guys. That's a warning. Take heed to what you hear. You have an ear gate. You have eye gates that go into your soul. There are people that think, as long as I don't gossip, I'm okay. But if you're listening to gossip, you're just as evil. You're just as guilty. Now, who am I not offending in this place? Right? I'm offended. And I'm preaching it, but I'm offended. Why? Because I'm guilty. So are you. We're each one of us guilty of listening to things that we ought not listen to. He says, take heed that you not listen to that. Why? Because Jesus is the big joy killer, right? Absolutely not. Because He wants you to have fullness of joy and fullness of life, and you can't get there if you're living on half the mountain. Guys, we used to say it this way. A lot of Christians have got one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And they're walking this way. It's the most miserable life you'll ever live. Oh, I want to please God. But boy, this out here still pleases my flesh. Hear the words of this preacher. Surrender it. Surrender it. Have a oneness. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You get it? You got to be careful what you allow to penetrate your ears. Matthew 7:2 and Luke 6:37 and 38. And it's speaking of judging. Judge not and you'll not be judged. We all know that verse. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Do you understand? When you begin to listen to the wrong things, you know what happens in our human hearts? We set ourselves up as judges. We begin to look at each other. We begin to evaluate each other and we begin to judge people. That's why he's given this stern warning here. You be careful what you allow in your ear, because we are not judges. God has not called us to judge. Romans 14 says, don't judge another man's servants. But we do that because we allow it into our ear gate. It's the common thing to do when you allow it in. All of a sudden, you become the judge. We are not the judge, thank God. But we will be judged one day. Ooh. Mark 12, 33 and 35. He says, you either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. He switches in the same sentence almost. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good fruit. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Don't be deceived. Your life is going to be representative of the fruit. The fruit of your life represents your heart. You see, when I listen to something that's not godly, it plants a seed. And if I'm not careful, that seed will produce roots. And it begins to go down in my heart. And all of a sudden, roots of prejudice, or roots of hatred, begin to form because I have listened. I have let somebody dump their garbage into my heart. And that's what gossip is. It's just garbage. Yes. You have no business listening to it. I'm going to say it. You have no business reading it. And there's lots of it being written. And it's evil. It's evil. It's meant to divide. It's meant to break up the kingdom of God. It's evil. The last thing he says, for whoever has, to him more will be given. This is what we call God's law of increase. What's it mean? As you begin to work, there's a law of increase. It increases in your life. And I've talked to many people young in their life that says, we're doing all the right things, we're working, and we're paying our tithes, but we can barely meet. And they're 28 years old. They're 30 years old. And I'll say, give it time. You got to let the law of increase will come in, but you got to keep walking in this. Well, that's financial, but spiritually it's true too. Some of you get saved and you're ready to walk in the streets of Walmart and have people just fall in the aisle saying, I need to accept Jesus. Doesn't happen like that. There's a law of increase as you walk with the Lord, as you stand in His presence, as you live your life. There's a law of increase that happens. In other words, that anointing of God increases in your life as you walk with Him. Why? You've got to show you can be trusted. If God dumps His glory in your life, He dumps His anointing, He dumps the gifts, you may get puffed up. You may think, look at what I can do. And it ain't about you, baby. It is about the glory of God. We don't get the glory. We don't want the glory. We want Him to be glorified. To give you an example of this, think about the musician that starts off and doesn't sound very good. I played the trumpet and the French horn when I was a kid. And I'd go outside because mom and dad wouldn't let me practice in the house. And the dogs would howl. I'd think, boy, I must be good. The dogs are joining in. Yeah. No, that's not it at all. But what happens is they keep continuing to practice the law of increase. A young man will go or a young woman will go and they'll go through high school and they'll apply themselves. And what happens? Knowledge increases. They go to college, knowledge increases. Sometimes wisdom doesn't, but knowledge does. Right? As they apply themselves to learning, what happens? It increases. I was telling Dave yesterday, I love to watch people that are gifted in their skill work. I find it's just fascinating to watch a man that really knows what he's doing, a carpenter or whatever they are, a painter or whatever. It's fascinating to watch the details come into being, right? Why? Because they've been applying themselves to wisdom, applying themselves to their craft, and they are great craftsmen. Now think about this spiritually. If we keep applying the Word of God to our hearts, if we keep applying His presence in our life, what is going to happen? It's His law. The law of increase is His. We are going to grow up into the image of Christ. If we grow up into the image of Christ, what does that mean? It means that there's going to be some things that's going to die in you, so that He can live. We are going to begin to resemble Jesus more and more. So that light begins to take over, right? So these are very practical teachings. They make sense when you think about it. Let me summarize it. He says, be a light to the world. Be a light. Let your light shine. By doing that, he says, there's something you need to deal with. You cannot conceal sin in your hearts. You cannot be a light while you're concealing sin. Did you hear it? You cannot conceal sin and still be a light. It just doesn't happen. Light and darkness don't go together. 3 is be careful what you listen to because it gets in your hearts. It will bear fruit. Have you ever, I don't know, I need to preach the sermon again, but have you ever been amazed at how the more you dwell on something, the madder you get? Right? It was just a small offense, but all of a sudden, 2 months later, that small offense is like, I can't stand that person. I hate that person. What they do? Well, he didn't open the car door for me. Right? I mean, sometimes it's so simple, some little bitty thing, but 2 or 3 months later, it's huge. Why? Because you've been dwelling on it. This small little speck all of a sudden is huge in your body. It's bore fruit in your life. How many of you have ever thought, I keep making the same mistakes over and over and over? Why is it I keep... I know some people that's been married several times, and they'll say, I keep choosing the wrong person. Step back for just a second. Listen to your words. It's your heart. Your heart is deceiving you. You need to let Him come in and deal with the roots that's in your life. Why do some women hate men? Come on. Let's get practical for just a second. Because they've been hurt. Because a man hurt them. And maybe hurt them very young. And man, they don't think they can trust any man anymore because of one man. Do you know they even have trouble calling God Father? Because of what their earthly dad did. I left Senior Citizens for about 20 months. And I went, took over another agency and ran it for a while. Like an assisted living. And then I came back to Senior Citizens. And while I was gone, the director there stole money from them. And after I came back, about 6 months in, we were having a board meeting. And I just stopped. And I said, hold on a second. I said, we got to deal with something. I said, you're treating me like I'm a thief. I understand you got stolen from. I understand there's an offense there. But it wasn't my offense. I did not do it, but you're making me pay his price. We can't live like this. It wasn't Jesus that offended you. Jesus wants to heal your hearts. Come on, listen to me. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You're holding Jesus back. I know that's the Spirit of God. You're saying, I want you, but I don't know that I can trust you. I'm going to hold you at this distance. And it's time you let your guard down. And you say, you can be trusted. I need you to come in. I need you to forgive me. I need you to heal that brokenness. And I need you to change my thought pattern. Are you hearing the Spirit of God today? I wish I could show you my notes because they're not that good. This ain't Eric. Eric had no idea this sermon was going to come out like this. The law of increase. Apply yourself to knowing wisdom. Apply yourself to knowing Him. You will be amazed at what God wants to do in your life. I thought in Sunday school, I'd rather pastor a church of 40 that absolutely, and I know some of you thinking, you keep preaching like this and you may have a church of 40. I know that's true. I know that's true. Because there's lots of people that do not want to hear that kind of preaching. This kind of preaching. But I'm going to tell you, this ain't this fat man up here. The Spirit of God's been speaking to your heart today. He's preaching. But you know, he said, I will be an offense to many. Don't be offended at what God has said. Because what God says to you is for your increase. It's for your good. So surrender. Surrender yourself to Him so that He can have His way in your heart. Amen. Stand with me. If you do not know Jesus is your Savior, let me say this. You may have thought that you knew Jesus as your Savior at the beginning of this service, But you may be second guessing yourself at this point. You may be saying, hey, that sure sounded like my life. I feel like I accepted Christ, but man, I did not allow Him to be Lord of all. So you may need to say, I think I need to submit my all to Him today. I haven't asked you to bow your heads. And I haven't asked you to close your eyes. Because there's a verse in Scripture that every once in a while just hits me. And it says, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Don't conceal your sin. Don't conceal the life that you're living. I'm just going to say this. If you're here today and there's conviction in your heart, I'm going to invite you to come up, stand up here. We want to pray for you. But the altars are open. For the rest of you, I've been convicted this morning. I've been convicted. I've applied my heart not to wisdom, but I've applied my ear to places it should not be. So I know I need to say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Touch my heart. I want you more than anything else in this life. And I can say that with true sincerity. There is nothing else that satisfies me in life other than Him. I don't care about money. I definitely don't care about fame. I care about Him. I want Jesus with everything I've got. I want Him to live large in my life. I want His light to shine. Father God, we come before you today. Lord, it always amazes me the Spirit of God that takes over and brings a sermon like this to us, convicting even the preacher, the one that's preaching it, Lord. But Lord, I want to say, we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying today. We're inviting you into our hearts. Father, if there's those here today that have been concealing sin, I ask you, Lord, may they humble themselves. May they come clean and come honest with you because you know it. You see their heart. There's people here that has a lifestyle of sin, Father. We ask you, Lord, to deal with them. Deal with them, Father. Lord, may they repent. May they turn and go in the opposite direction. Jesus, I believe there's a call of holiness to this church. I believe that you're calling this church into a level of holiness that we've not been before. I ask you, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that we go where you're calling us to go. We surrender our lives to you. Have your way in us. Have your way in us, Jesus. Lord, we want to go all the way up the mountain. We want to dwell and live in the presence and the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus, may your Spirit deal with each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus.